have some suggestions here. Like, you're not gonna get rid of him. He's like, don't get rid of him at all. Deck right over him. Just put a at grade deck.
That's the west.
I'm like,
okay, so the mics are live and you're live. I mean, all right,
we're all alive.
Okay, welcome everybody to Planning Commission. We have a full agenda tonight. Before we jump into it, we will start with a Pledge of Allegiance, and Commissioner Garn has volunteered to lead us in that.
Would everybody please arise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner. Before we get into our regular agenda, we'd like to open it up for any public comments that are not related to, well, that are about anything that the city could address. So if you have a public comment, please come forward at this time. And seeing none, we'll move into our regular items. The first is a consideration of a subdivision concept plan for the Tag Orchard, a townhome development at 142 South Orchard Drive, and with Tag SLC as the applicant. Is this Sherry, are you leading out on this one?
Yes. And I believe the applicants are here, right? Okay. Just want to make sure I recognized them. I thought I did. So as you recall, you tabled this item on June 11th to give the applicant some opportunity to address a couple of the concerns that were raised by staff and the Planning Commission related to the layout, the number of units, and the proximity of the guest parking. So this property is zoned RM20, so it's already zoned multifamily. 20 units per acre is the density that is allowed in that zone. So this previously, when it came before you, had 26 units on it. Based upon the dedication of additional right-of-way on the street and the given the way the density works in the RM20 zone, it's essentially the first unit requires 7,000 square feet, and then each additional unit requires an additional 1,900 square feet. So losing just a few hundred square feet actually can cost a whole unit. So the density that can be approved under this as a standard standalone PUD and a right by use is 26 units. So they reduced it from 27 to 26 units. This is a little more close up. They rearranged the buildings and the layout. So as you can see, that units 7 through 9 there, that building was a two-unit building before, and then the building to the north of that had like 6 or 7 units in it, and that's been reduced down to 4. So that lays out just a little bit better. Also provides additional driveway areas for those units 10 through 13, giving more guest parking, and they've added 2 more guest parking spots right here, which provides 4 guest parking spots within walking distance of these buildings. All of the rest of the guest parking spots will be in this area. This is being platted as a for sale project. These are what the townhomes will look like. Under our code for a conditional use or a standard subdivision, we do not have any ability to influence the architecture, but so this is just provided for your information. These are the 3-story units, which would be the units in the middle of the project. The units along Orchard Drive would actually be 2 stories at the street and 3 stories on the rear, with the garage on the rear side in the basement level. So as I stated earlier, the density that can be approved for this 1.3 acre site is 26 units. The layout of the property, there's about a 20-foot slope drop in elevation from Orchard Drive to the back of the property. So the main private streets will be a maximum 10% slope for the longest portion of its run. The setbacks, under the PUD ordinance, the Planning Commission can reduce the setbacks. The standard setbacks for the RM20 zone are 25 on the front, 8 feet on the side, and 20 feet on the rear. They are requesting a side setback of, let's start with front setback. They're requesting a front setback of 15 feet from the new property line after the dedication of 4.5 feet of sidewalk for the 66-foot right-of-way width. That setbacks would then be 22.5 feet from the curb, and the proposed side yard setbacks are 6 feet rather than the required 8 feet. So they are requesting a variance of that by the Planning Commission as part of the PUD. The maximum height in the RM20 zone is 35 feet with no maximum number of stories. Under the PUD subdivision, the Planning Commission also can establish what the maximum height will be. The two-story structures have a height of 29 feet, with the three-story structures being 39 feet at the maximum. So that would be a 4-foot exception to the height limitation of 35 feet. And that comes into play with using the pitched roofs rather than the flat roofs. And so the DRC is recommending that amendment and variance in height, just because the pitched roofs tend to blend in with the residential character of the neighborhood in general.
And just to clarify, it's not an amendment, it's just it's us
exception.
Voluntarily allowing.
Yes.
Okay.
You have right. The Planning Commission has the right to give exceptions to the setbacks, the heights, and the layout requirements in a PUD subdivision. The coverage of the lot is about 32% buildings, which the maximum coverage of the zone is 50%. The landscaping of the site is 27%. Our required minimum is 10%, so it exceeds that. Required parking under the code is 2.25 spaces for each dwelling unit, with one stall per unit being covered. So each of these townhomes have 2-car-wide garages, and that provides 52 parking spaces. Additionally, there are 6.5 spaces that would be required for guest parking. They are proposing 11 spaces. Units 10 through 13 have driveways capable of parking 2 additional cars or 8 spaces, and unit 9 has a driveway that can accommodate 1 additional car. So the townhome project is exceeding the minimum requirements for parking. As I explained before, that guest parking proximity, those 4 spaces that have been provided here in the middle do meet the standard. It would be nice if we could have more guest parking higher up, but the topography of the site just does not lend itself to that ability to do that. So that would be something that you can review. And then as far as amenities for the project, because this is a standard PUD and not a P district rezone, we do not have the ability to require any amenities in the site. They haven't proposed any. And we have received 2 written comments from the public. One expressed some concern over the density of the project, and one expressed concern over the storm drainage and the retaining wall. The city engineer did contact the property owner to the south that was concerned about the drainage and his retaining wall. He explained some projects that are going on Orchard Drive and the storm drain project that will be installed with the rebuild of that road that should take care of his issues, and let him know that we are aware of the retaining wall. We'll make sure that that's either protected or rebuilt as part of this project if they have to remove it in any way. So with that, I would turn it over to you with a recommendation to approve the concept plan PUD.
Okay, thanks, Sherry. Any initial questions for staff?
Sherry, if we did not grant an exception to the setback requirements, what would the density, what would they then allow, be allowed, what would fit?
So I don't know how they would rearrange it. I suspect they could probably meet that 8-foot side setback. The front setback, I don't know that it would more than likely harm the parking spaces, but I think the same density would fit the project.
It would just take away parking, and they're over parking right now.
Yeah, it would just lay away it would just lay out a little bit different, and that would take away some of the parking, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's hear from the applicant. If you'd like to address us and just come forward and give us your name. I assume it's not Tag.
No.
Okay.
My name is Jordan. I'm representing the developer. I appreciated the staff's process with Kate and Sherry. It was a little bit different feeling than we have down in Salt Lake where we normally work. It was a very collaborative approach of how we got to this point. We are, I don't really have any comments, but happy to answer any questions.
Okay, questions for the applicant. I have one to get started with. On the townhouses immediately to the north of this, there is an unfortunate design error where the front doors are not at the grade of the street, which is kind of ridiculous. And so I'm wondering if what the grade of the doors relative to Orchard Drive, if there is a significant separation or what the concept is currently.
I don't know the grade change off the top of my head, but how we ended up with this design was for an engaging street face along Orchard. So you will be able to walk directly into your front door for the units facing the street, and it for sure does not drop at all. If anything, it would be elevated slightly.
So great. This drawing shows you the front elevation and then the side elevation as you would go down the drive
okay.
to the third. So that was a concern that we had as well. We wanted to see two stories and not three stories with the front door on the basement level, and then you had to go down into that like they are on 130 East.
Yeah,
so.
Another benefit of this design is we can use the buildings to help retain the site as we travel down to the west.
Is a condition needed to ensure that? And then we can talk about whether that's appropriate for us to even put that in, or does the elevations that we're looking at give us that assurance?
So the construction drawings, as we move forward, the civil drawings will give us the assurance that that's how it's going to be built. I also feel confident that it'll be built that way just because of the general topography of the site. I don't think it's possible to do it any other way. Of course, I would have bet that before that other project, too. But the way that these homes are townhomes are being designed, it wouldn't be feasible with this particular elevation to have it be lower, because then you would be way too low for your garage. So I'm not sure it's possible. I think you could put a condition on that if you wanted to say that the street elevation, I think that would be an appropriate condition.
And we would be happy to comply with that. It's not our intention to have that funky thing going on.
That's great.
Is this going to have CCRs?
Yeah, we will have an HOA that governs the
Is it possible to not allow residents to park in the visitor stalls as part of that? I mean, we can't mandate that, but that would help alleviate some of our parking concerns.
I think that would be totally fine. That's why they're there, right, for guests. And we're accommodating a full two car. You will be able to get two cars in there, in the garage for that reason. We also, I don't know the exact count, but definitely over exceed the amount of guest parking that's required per the code.
Yeah, I just worry about residents parking in those six that are close to the front,
mm-hmm.
and then not having, you know, people having to walk all the way from the back to.
Sure.
Visit friends in the front. There's not parking on Orchard Drive, is there?
I think there's a bike lane on Orchard Drive and people park in it. That remains to be seen whether that will continue or if it'll be posted with the new construction going on the sidewalk on the other side of the street and then the narrowing of the of the travel lanes that may change and that may be posted as no parking. That decision hasn't been made at this time yet.
So it's not something we should depend on.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I think for sure a condition that those four spaces that are in the middle, that they should be signed as guest-only parking would be very appropriate.
So we're allowed to add that condition to our conditional use?
Yes, I think that's an appropriate condition because there are so few that are close up to the top that I think it needs to be
clear. That's probably better than addressing that in the CCRs. So let's, when someone makes a motion, let's think about adding that.
Okay, any other questions for the applicant or staff? Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
And we may have more questions. Oh, I forgot to, this is just a curiosity, not to inform anything, but what is the gray material? Is that on the buildings?
I would say the plans aren't fully baked yet, but that would probably be an EFS type material.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
You want to explain?
An upgraded type of stucco.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still in flux of how those are going to read on the final project.
There are some requested exceptions to our standards, which we can, of course, do because it's a P district. Are there any?
It's not a P district.
It's a PUD.
A conditional use.
Not a P district. Right. Got it. Yes, thank you. Good clarification. No, you're right. You're right. As a PUD, we can provide those exceptions. So the question remains. Okay.
Natalie brought up the question I had was, would it change the density? But it doesn't sound like it would if we didn't allow the setback change.
I think having a few fewer units on this wouldn't be the worst thing ever, but I also think having the same number of units with fewer parking spots would be bad.
Be a better, worse problem.
And so because we don't have the control that we would have with a P district, I think approving those setback variances would be okay.
I don't have an issue with it. I think that 15 could feel quite good anyway, just in terms of the relation of the townhouses to the street.
Well, isn't it 22 from the street?
For the curb.
As required,
yeah. From the curb, so there's even more distance there, because they're adding a park. Aren't they adding a sidewalk?
Yes.
Yes, so then that creates
even
more of that feeling of distance from the road. So even though the setback is 15, once they add the sidewalk and the park strip to the curb, it's 22, which does feel a lot more than when you drop right off the property into Orchard. That's different than having a sidewalk and park strip, I think.
Chair would entertain a motion. Certainly, if you have any other questions or comments, don't be afraid to do that instead.
Okay, I can make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommends to the City Council approval of the concept plan for Orchard Drive Townhomes PUD located at approximately 142 South Orchard Drive with the following findings and conditions. Findings are the proposed development meets the minimum standards for a PUD subdivision in the RM20 zone, including lot size, density, landscaping, parking, and building coverage. And the Planning Commission has the authority to authorize standards and requirements for PUD subdivisions, which may include lot area, width, yard, height, and coverage. And the conditions, one, that the Planning Commission hereby approves that the minimum standards shall be varied per the PUD ordinance provisions for property setbacks as follows. Front 15 feet. The rear one's not changing.
Right.
And side 6 feet. 2, the Planning Commission hereby approves that the minimum height standards shall be varied per the PUD ordinance provisions for maximum height of 39 feet. And 3, that the 4 center parking spots be signed as guest spots only, no resident parking.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Are there any comments on the motion? Do we feel like we need that additional condition that relative to the grade of the front door? Or are we good?
I feel confident without adding it. Okay. But if you don't, I can add it. I don't want it to be a deal breaker.
No. Okay. Any other comments? All right.
Can I ask one more? The 39-foot variation is only for the middle 3 buildings, right?
Yes.
Do we need to include that in here?
Can we specify that in my motion? Because you're right, I don't want the other buildings to be taller.
And all of them get to be 39.
And I do like the pitched roof better than a flat roof, so I think it's worth having that.
Agreed. But maybe to add
the
specification that it's the 3 buildings that were indicated in the staff packet.
You accept that?
I do.
Friendly amendment? Okay.
Friendliest of amendments.
Yes, good. And this is one of these ticky-tack questions, but do we need a new second?
Second?
Yeah, okay, great. Fine. We got it covered. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Congratulations.
I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't think we do, but I did that. We did that time. So... All right, our next item is the consideration of a subdivision concept plan for the Lakeview PUD, including a conditional use permit for a flag lot for a 3-lot subdivision at 824 Eagle Point Drive. And Carl Rupp is the applicant. Is Mr. Rupp here?
Mr. Rupp is not here, and I don't know why. Do you want to table this?
Why don't we move it to the end of the agenda.
Okay.
All right, so we are moving to item 4, consideration of an amendment to the general development plan for Williamsburg Luxury Apartments at 256 South Highway 89, related to architectural design, with Pendleton Construction as the applicant. Is a representative from Pendleton here today? Great. Okay, thanks, Sherry.
So if you remember last month, you made the recommendation to the City Council for the final zone change and development agreement with their architecture. The next morning, I received an email from the applicant stating that they had changed their architect. If you remember, for those of you that were here before, I'll just give you a little history. When this project was first proposed 4 years ago by a different developer, they're the ones that developed the architectural style. And then the project went cold. The owner of the property didn't sell the property. Then the new developer came in and worked up a purchase agreement with the property owner, and they thought that they would move forward with that architecture. They have not been able to move forward the architecture because of the cost of that architectural firm, and so they've hired a different architect. They're still using the same footprint and layout of the previous approvals. They're just changing the look on it. I was concerned about the architecture itself, and I don't want to unduly influence the Planning Commission, but I was worried that the City Council, having looked at that previous architecture for 4 years, would be concerned. So we did take it to a work session with them, and they didn't have any heartburn, but they did want it to come back to the Planning Commission just for a formal recommendation on the architecture. So this reminds you of what the previous architecture was. Look, this is more classical or Romanesque style. I'm not sure what, not an architect, so. But this is the proposal that they're making under their new architect. So some of the features that you can see on this, obviously it's a more modern design with the flat roofs. Now almost every unit has its own balcony, including some end balconies that you can see on this rear elevation. This is the elevation that faces the freeway. This is the elevation that faces Highway 89. We've requested some additional changes, if you remember, from the site plan approval to get the entrance on the end to connect with the sidewalk to the bus stop. And so that they're surveyor and engineer are working on that, and I feel confident that that'll be achieved. But this is the style of architecture that they would like to change to. Still a very attractive architecture. I don't have any heartburn with it. We gave them some comments and asked them to change this elevation. And I don't think I didn't put the new elevation in, just to make this elevation or make the Highway 89 elevation look more like the other side with the roof line a little bit.
And that's in our packet.
Yeah. So I think I just got the wrong, I didn't put the new one in the slideshow here, but you have it in your packet. So with that, DRC is not, you know, we're recommending approval of it. Still high quality materials, still high quality architecture. And we don't have any heartburn as far as that goes. So we would just turn it over to the Planning Commission for a recommendation to the City Council on the changes of the architecture.
Okay, thanks. Does the applicant want to address us?
Your question.
Okay. Sounds good. Comments, questions on this? Not seeing any immediately, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council the approval of the amendment to the General Development Plan for Williamsburg Luxury Apartments at 256 South Highway 89 with the following conditions. First condition, the site plan drawings be amended to include the walkways from the north and south building entrances to the bus stop on the north and the surface parking on the south. Two, all other conditions of the previous recommendation on final zone change, development agreement, and site plan approval shall be met.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay.
Sorry, Kent. Looks like you're ready.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
All right. Any comments? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, great. Thanks. Can we do a straw poll and who preferred the old and who preferred the new?
Yeah. I like the new.
I like the old. I like the new.
New.
I'm happy with either one. I thought the first one was maybe just a little more attractive, but I'm happy with the second one too.
I'm exactly the same.
Cool. All right, moving right along. Our next item is a conditional consideration, pardon me, of a CUP for Wholesome Ag, a cannabis cultivation facility, and Wiley name at 501 West 900 North. DJ Shans as the applicant. Is Mr. Shans here? Okay, great. Thanks.
Neither of you is DJ.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And Ms. Ford, your client is well known, so you can't get away with that.
All right. Okay. Great. Is this Sherry or is this Kate?
This is Kate.
Okay. Great. Kate.
Okay. So, the applicant Wholesome Ag LLC has requested to open an indoor agricultural cultivation business located at 501 West 900 North. Within the MD zone, crop cultivation is a conditional use. There will be 10 to 15 employees working at the location and no on-site sales. The crop which will be grown is cannabis or medical marijuana. We also will be reviewing another application for this at our next meeting, just so you're aware, at a different location. Within the building, over 16,000 square feet will be used for plant cultivation and about 6,700 square feet will be used for office space. They intend to be discreet regarding what their product is, and they intend to use the site initially in the short run for just cultivation and will likely add processing in the future. We haven't identified any issues with the business being located in this particular location. So Wholesome Ag has submitted their application to the state of Utah Department of Agriculture and Food to grow medical marijuana. The approval and license receipt from the state is required to grow legally in the state of Utah, as governed by Administrative Rule R-6727, and a few elements of that rule. First, submittal of an operating plan with floor plans outlining areas of cultivation, drying, processing, and packaging. We do have a copy of that site plan now. Next, various security measures, including an alarm system, continuously recording video surveillance with high-resolution security-controlled areas, lighted access areas, security logs, and ID badges. Next, inventory control systems to follow plants through all phases of production. Background checks for facility agents and registration cards. Next, maintenance of material safety data sheets. You may remember seeing those when we looked at the hemp processing application also. Next, transportation manifest control systems. Also, minimum requirements for storage and handling of cannabis. Standards for cannabis waste disposal. And notification and approval of any change in operation. We'll also need any renewal requirements, and there will be violation penalties from the state. Due to the odors associated with the cultivation and processing of the crop, the DRC recommends a carbon scrubber be required or some similar odor control system be installed. A carbon scrubber filters the air before it's released outside the building. When the DRC reviewed this application, they had a few different conditions that they recommended that you consider. First and foremost, consideration, confirmation of a state license prior to business license approval. Next, submission of the state-accepted security plan. Third, submission of a letter from South Davis Sewer District confirming discharge into the sewer from cultivation is acceptable prior to business license approval. Fourth, final approval of the fire marshal. And fifth, installation of an odor control system so that no bad odors will be coming out of there, and that odor control system to be approved by the building official. And with that, I'll turn it over to you for any questions or comments you may have.
Okay, thank you, Kate. Does the applicant want to address us?
Yeah, DJ is sorry he couldn't be here. He has a father-in-law who is not doing well health-wise, so he's in Southern California dealing with that. But I don't really have much to say.
And if you would just give us your names again.
Sure, I'm Jack Rubin.
And I'm Alex Orge.
Okay. All right, and questions for the applicant?
How much water does this kind of I'm sorry, I wasn't here for the hemp one, and so I feel like I'm behind the curve. How much water does this take, and will it be culinary water or some kind of secondary or reuse water that you use?
So initially we expect it to be about 300 to 500 gallons. There are a couple phases, and that's per day. There are a couple phases of the build out. This phase one, because the state is asking us to get plants in the ground as soon as possible, only 10 licenses are going to be awarded. We hope to get one, obviously. If we don't get one, then this ends that time. But initially, 300 to 500 gallons. We'll have an on-site reverse osmosis water purification system. And then we try to reclaim as much water as we can through runoff and other ways, because we'll do our own purification. And then at full build-out, it will be close to 1,500 to 2,000 per day. And you don't water every day, but that would be our maximum we would need in one day. Yeah.
Okay. Is this grown in grow boxes?
Not necessarily. So it's divided into rooms, and they're all, I guess how we would grow it would be individually. They're going to be individual plants in their own. It wouldn't necessarily be a grow box, yeah, but its own container, yeah.
What is the current use of this building right now?
It's a heating and air company, and they're looking to move somewhere else. So,
when will you know if you receive one of the 10 permits?
Sorry.
Probably July 19th is the latest day. So we should know pretty soon. They did get more applicants than they expected, and some of these applications can be pretty lengthy, so reading through all of them might take some other time. But I'd say by the very latest, if they extended the time, would probably be the end of this month.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't take this wrong, but what's attractive about doing it here in this kind of facility? It doesn't seem like...
So, honestly, it is proximity to Salt Lake. You know, also the building is the right size, and it's a standalone, because part of the rules is you have to have the whole building, and a lot of warehouse space where it's typically grown, you're looking at sometimes 90,000 square foot buildings. So it's just a combination of size, proximity, and then also, you know, there's not, I guess there's a lot of room around it that it's not going to really bother any neighbors that we can tell.
So you have to have it enclosed? You're not allowed to have sunlight?
Yeah, and we didn't necessarily target North Salt Lake, but it is kind of a convenient location for all of us.
And DJ lives in Bountiful, doesn't he?
No, he lives up on right by the golf course in North Salt Lake.
So he lives here?
Yeah, he lives here in North Salt Lake.
I think one of the conditions we're considering is the scrubber for the odor. Is that something that you guys would do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Explain something, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Does the plant itself smell, or is it when you grow the plant in the drying process or whatever? What is it that smells?
The plant itself is odoriferous. You know when you're in a grow. Cultivation facility. It's just a fragrant plant.
Okay.
And it does state on here that we may likely add processing. We've actually probably won't be doing that. We'll obviously be back here if we do plan to add that, but the space and layout isn't quite a good design to also have processing in that unit. Processing is also it can be pretty potent. So, yeah, we don't know if we'll be doing that here.
And I don't remember the law. When is it becoming effective? When would you guys be, if you started, got the permit? What's your target date?
One of the conditions that the state is looking for is to get, as Alex mentioned, product into the market in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. So we would... if we're successful in getting a license, we'd like to begin construction as soon as we can. There's a fair amount of construction that needs to be put in place, lights, irrigation, partition walls. So it's currently a 100 by 200 square foot, or 100 feet by 200 feet building, a big box that we need to break up into rooms. So there's a fair amount of improvement that needs to take place before we can begin cultivation.
Along with security.
Yeah.
And what kind of security do you plan to use?
Well, there's we've submitted a security plan. We'd be happy to give you a copy of that. There's 24-hour video surveillance with high-definition cameras. It's the tapes are held for a minimum of 45 days. We'll probably exceed that. So there's pass cards required to get into any of the rooms or get into the building. So the security is actually fairly significant.
Are you aware from the other states that are ahead of us of any security breaches? I mean, has there been targets?
And one of the reasons I'm involved in this is I actually was involved in another state. And we've seen the security is just a very high priority. And it takes a fair amount of capital to get, as we were saying, to get this building improved and everything. And a security breach can put your license at jeopardy, so it's really incumbent upon the owner operator to comply. The risks of not complying are, you know, too big to screw it up.
Gotcha.
So as you would grow your product on site, and then you would transport it somewhere else if you're not processing it.
There's processing and processing. You have to dry the plant, trim it and dry it, and that's sort of first stage processing, and then second stage would be putting it through extractors to make distillates, isolates, all these other components that could go into a series of products. The first part we'll do, which is the trimming, drying, and preparing the basic flour, going through the extraction process and making the other products is something we're probably likely to outsource.
So what's your background?
Well, I was involved in a cannabis cultivation processing organization back in Connecticut.
Right.
And we were an early one back in 2013, when which was the old days in this business. It makes me a relic. Sorry. So Utah's, you know, just recently passed it, and hopefully being able to bring some of the expertise we used back there here will put us ahead of the game.
Thanks.
Certainly welcome a motion or additional comments.
I would just like to disclose before we vote that I am related to DJ. I don't think that influences my decision.
Really?
Here,
how?
But yes, we are cousins.
I had no idea.
Right, great. Thank you for the
I would also like to disclose that once DJ called me the Wicked Witch of the West. So
balance each other out.
I was riding a bike at the time.
I'd like to apologize on behalf of him himself, were he here.
I won't dig into that anecdote now, but I may later.
Yeah. I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit for Wholesome AG LLC located at 501 West 900 North, subject to the following conditions. 1, confirmation of a state license prior to business license approval. 2, submission of the state accepted security plan. 3, submission of a letter from South Davis Sewer District confirming discharge into sewer from cultivation acceptable prior to business license approval. 4, final approval from the fire marshal. 5, installation of odor control systems such as carbon scrubber or other acceptable device approved by the building official.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any comments? All
just,
in favor?
Just ahead. One other real quick question. Do you plan on gating the whole facility, or is that part of your?
We don't anticipate an exterior gate.
So it'll be just the building that'll be secure.
Right.
Okay.
Any discussion related to that additional comment? Okay. Let's see. We had a motion. Did we get the second?
Yes.
This is Mr. Short-term memory. All right. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, great. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right, our next item. Has the applicant for item 3 shown yet? Not yet. Okay. And maybe not. So next is a consideration of a CUP for an electronic sign at Salsa's Catering, 890 North 500 West. Mario Lopez as the applicant. Is Mr. Lopez here? Great. Okay. And Kate, take it away.
Okay, so a little bit of background on this. The city code permits staff to review and approve sign permits except for any conditional use elements, and message boards, which this application includes, are a conditional use element. So this conditional use permit is for just the message center portion of this proposal. So currently Salsa's Catering, which is located at 890 North 550 West, has a window decal for their business, and they intend
next door to the cannabis place.
Yeah, so when they get the munchies, they can head next door.
I was thinking that joke, but I didn't make it.
Anyway, yeah, we've been joking about that. So anyway, they intend to approve their business storefront by adding a wall sign to with a proposed message center component. This will increase their visibility, and they plan to have it on the northern section of the west-facing wall. Let's switch over to there. Salsa's Catering is located within the manufacturing distribution zone, which is in the S3 sign overlay zone as well. The new sign will include 4 separate components with a combined area of about 88 square feet, which is below the maximum area allowed. The sign will take up roughly 13% of Salsa Catering's front facade, which is below the 30% maximum. So, some specific rules for electronic message centers, which are in line with the industry standards and are found in the city code, include that electronic signs shall not exceed 75% of the total sign size. Next, that the duration of changing sign copy needs to be a minimum of 8 seconds, with transitions no longer than 3 seconds. Next, that an electronic message sign shall be equipped with a sensor or other device that automatically determines the ambient illumination and must be programmed to automatically dim according to ambient light conditions. The proposed message center does fit within that size requirement. It is 30.9 square feet, or 54% of the total sign area. The DRC recommends conditioning approval on the incorporation of those items that I just listed that are in line with industry standards. Based on this review and a finding that it is not within 100 feet of any dwellings, the DRC does recommend approval. Some conditions that they recommend is that the sign be equipped to ensure that light emission does not exceed 0.3 foot candles above ambient light as measured 50 feet away from the display. Second, a photocell on the sign to detect ambient light levels and adjust the display intensity automatically. Third, electronic sign area shall not exceed 75% of the total sign. Fourth, duration of the sign copy shall be a minimum of 8 seconds, with transitions no longer than 3 seconds. And fifth, a sign permit be issued by the city's building department prior to installation of a message center sign. And they have already submitted their application for a sign in general. That's what initiated this process. So with that, we will turn it over to you for any questions or discussion.
Thank you, Kate. Mr. Lopez, would you like to add anything, or?
The owner asked me to tell you guys something. He said, tell him I've been there 15 years. That would be it.
I have a couple questions. Will you come up?
Yes, thank you.
I feel important up here.
Okay, and if you would just state your name into the
Mario
mic.
Mario Lopez.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Do you also serve tacos there, like a restaurant, or is it just a catering company?
No, he served it years ago, but he's starting to serve again.
Oh, that's why he wants the sign.
Yes.
Okay, so also I don't speak Spanish very well, but does the sign say free tacos? Because if so,
I did that. I just did it for.
I'm just saying, I live kind of near there, and I really enjoy tacos. So if that's what the sign is going to say,
I'd like to make a motion.
And it's you guys got to try it. I heard something about Munchies referring to the other people. But yeah, he. It's pretty good food.
Nice.
It is good.
Oh, that's great.
He's really off the street. And it makes me wonder how he survived, but he did, the catering. But now the people know he's there, and it's beginning to come. But 15 years with no sign, has to be doing something good. He's never had a sign before.
Yeah,
this will be great.
Okay, any other questions for the applicant or Kate? Ms. Werritt? All right, seeing none, I'd entertain a motion.
How do we change this to a building department approval instead of planning commission?
Sure. Yeah. No, absolutely.
This is the second one I think we've had, right?
That would require a change to the code, which is a work in progress.
Okay.
So can you stick that? Do you have any comments on that, Sherry?
Yeah. So you're an entirely different planning commission. Well, most of you, at least this side over here. And this side over here will probably remember that previously we didn't have an allowance for any electronic message boards.
Right,
and then we had Weiniger's ask for an electronic message board, and we had the gas station or service station that's next south of Weiniger's ask for one. And those were right across the street from residential.
And they were really sensitive.
And so, yeah, they were really sensitive about that. And they had, like, a lot of people show up to the meeting who were so afraid that these signs were going to be shining right in their lights, in their bedroom windows and everything. So that, I think, is why we made the change, first off, to allow them in the first place, and second, that was the compromise to make it a conditional use. Certainly, it's something we could explore if it's not adjacent to a residential use, maybe not require it to come to Planning Commission. I'd be okay with that, too.
But so a key, we can look at it. Maybe this is too much of a duh statement, but it's not the sign, it's the electronic portion that makes it potentially sensitive, much less sensitive in this location.
Yes.
All right, so let's, does anybody else want to say anything else about that potential legislative push? Okay, so I'd entertain a motion on this item.
I'll entertain a motion. I move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit for an electronic message center sign at Salsa's Catering, located at 890 North, 550 West, subject to the findings and conditions as listed in our
agenda. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Great. Good luck.
Okay, thank
you. Pass that on as well.
And you guys do go eat there.
Yeah, we will.
We're totally going to.
I would have brought free tickets if I would have had
The Google reviews are really good for that place also.
But it went faster.
So I love I love hitting restaurants that are in industrial areas like that, because sometimes they're really good.
Someone told me that there was one down there that's amazing.
Yes, right. It's like
someone's kitchen or something.
Yes, I've been to that. It is very good.
Yeah. They have great
I mean, there's one. Yeah, there's one down there. It's really good. All right. I digressed. Next item is a consideration of a conditional use permit for a duplex at 379 East Odell Lane. Dave Newton as the applicant. Is Mr. Newton here? Great. Okay. And if staff wants to lead out on this.
Okay. So Dave Newton is the new owner of 379 Odell Lane. And he has requested that the residential property be recognized by the city as a duplex. Duplexes are a conditional use, as listed in the code. It is a two-family dwelling, and he is currently zoned and will continue to be zoned at RM7 residential unit there. So a little background. It is an attached accessory unit, which is existing. It's a basement apartment, and the owner, like I said, would like it to be recognized as a duplex. It is likely that when Odell Lane was annexed into North Salt Lake in 1994, that the residents already had this accessory dwelling unit. Section 10-6-5 of the city code notes that for parcels with two to four residential units, two parking stalls per dwelling unit with a minimum of one covered parking space per unit are required. And the Development Review Committee does recommend conditioning approval upon this parking requirement. With that being said, it being existing resident accessory dwelling unit, the DRC does recommend approval with that recommendation that a condition be in place requiring one covered stall be required. With that, I will turn it over to you for any questions or comments.
I guess my question is, I'm confused. What's the difference in terms of what he can do being a duplex versus just having an accessory dwelling?
Yeah, that's a great question. The difference between a duplex and the accessory dwelling unit is owner occupancy. As a duplex, he doesn't have to live there.
Gotcha.
And we also can't prove. So at this time, we can't prove with evidence of a previous conditional use permit or a building permit that it legally existed prior. So this action will make sure that it is on record that it legally exists at that location in the event that the zoning were ever to be changed, that he could continue that use because it was a permitted use. And so this just makes what is lawful in the zone acknowledged and lawful. If we could have identified a building permit that was issued for it in the past, then we would have considered it to be a legal use. We just didn't have that in our records, and we don't have the ability to access county records, and we didn't have any other piece of paper that we could point to that said this is lawfully existed. So this is the best way to make it lawfully existing, so that in the future, if he wants to move out and rent both units, he can rent them both.
Okay, and a rudimentary question. Does the site meet the lot size requirement for a duplex?
It does. Okay. It's over 8,500 square feet.
Yeah, okay. All right, would the applicant like to address us?
I'm glad I missed the stuff across the street. So I'm sorry and thankful at the same time. But yeah, no, I'd be happy to answer any questions. The one thing that I was hoping to put in front of you for consideration, so it has a one-car garage with like a covering off to the side. So curious if that could count as my two covered parking areas for the use.
So what he's saying is as a garage, right? And then you have like a lean-to, like a carport off the side.
Yeah, it's
of it?
got a carport. You know, it'll fit my Honda Civic. You
so
know,
a carport
it's not
going to
fit
that.
Someone's huge truck, but it'll fit a car. And so I would like to use that as my two cover parking spaces if possible.
Does that lean-to portion meet our requirements?
What's the definition of covered?
Yeah, do we have to determine what size it is and if it's the appropriate size to
be
a parking
adequate,
spot?
Just has to be adequate for a vehicle, so.
Okay.
Garage is the covered spot, so this would be the.
Well,
this would be
that garage
need two
is
of
the
them.
Covered spot for the upstairs. Gotcha. This would
one
be the.
One per unit.
Right, one per unit, yeah.
One covered space per unit, and that could be a carport or a garage.
I think that sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you live there right now?
I currently do, yep.
How long have you owned the property?
3 weeks.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. So, I mean, we plan on being there for a while. I'd rather get things right and be clear and transparent about what we're doing and not owner occupy and then leave and still operate under the ADU. I'd rather just have it recognized formally as a duplex. So that's our intent.
You could have met all your neighbors at one time in this very room a few months ago.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, in 3 weeks, I've already met them all. So shocking, I know. But I've heard about the situation going on across the street, so which doesn't bother me. So someone said I was 3 weeks too late to the party, but for good or bad, I'm there now. So
okay.
Hey.
Welcome to the city.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I like this. I think this is a good idea.
Don't forget to get registered to vote by the 15th.
Sounds good.
Then you can participate in the primary election.
We're going to put that in a condition here.
I only say that because I'm also over the voting this time. So.
Oh, there you go.
Wants good turnout.
Sounds good.
And entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit for a duplex located at 379 Odell Lane. Subject to the following condition, a minimum of two parking stalls per dwelling unit with a minimum of one covered stall per unit be provided.
Is there a second?
I'll second. Sorry.
Okay. You got that? All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, great. Good luck. Thanks.
Number three showed up.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. Is the applicant for item three, Mr. Rupp here? Okay, great. So we'll turn back to that item, which is a consideration of a subdivision concept plan approval for Lakeview PUD, including a CUP for a flag lot for a three-lot subdivision at 824 Eagle Point Drive. Take it away, Sherry.
Okay, so this is three existing lots that are located up above the landslide that you may be familiar with. So previously, these three parcels, the two, I guess those would be western most parcels, were owned by Was it that one was Jacobson? And Carter, and then the one on the east, the little more triangle-shaped one, was owned by Mr. Carter. And several developers have tried to get those parcels all put together, and there was some discontent between those two property owners that didn't want to work with each other. I guess that's the nice way to say it. But Mr. Rupp has bought all three parcels and is now looking at developing them. And so the property is zoned R110. It's in our sensitive lands overlay zone, so before going to preliminary, it will be required to go through the geologic hazard study. And this is a just a little bit more of a close-up version view of the lots. You can see the church parking lot there to the south. So this is the proposal. This would realign the two lots out at the street. As you can see, two wedge-shaped lots. And then the largest lot would become a flag lot. So the ordinance for R110 requires a minimum lot size of 10,000 square feet, which each one of these lots exceed that. The two lots out in front are about half acre in size, and the largest lot in the back is, I can't see it from there, is 2.144 acres in size. As far as flag goes, flag lots go. So those are approved as
that's
a condition.
That's my favorite sentence of the day. As flag far as flag lots go.
Yes.
Keep
they
going.
Are approved as a conditional use under the subdivision ordinance. Some of the standards for that is it gets into if the stem part of the flag or the staff part of the flag is longer than 150 feet. There are some special conditions that have to be met as far as the strength of the road and putting a 6-inch water line down there and a fire hydrant. So this is at 150 feet, so those requirements do not fall. It does need to be a minimum of 30 feet wide. In evaluating this, that actually is too narrow. They're showing a 30-foot wide easement, but not the 30-foot wide staff. So they just need to adjust the property lines, but that can be done prior to preliminary. That's a minor change that we recognized in our review. All of the other two lots meet the minimum width and frontage requirements. We sent, as part of a concept plan subdivision, we send out a notice to property owners within 300 feet, giving them a 14-day public comment period where they could comment on any of the cuts and fills or hazards related to the project or any other concerns that they may have. We haven't received any comments from any abutting property owners. I understand our city manager received some comments from the oil or the gas pipeline companies that they're not in favor of this, but they don't have an easement through this property. And he told them he was sure that they could probably purchase it if they didn't want to see it delivered or developed. But other than that, that's the only comment that we've received, and that was not in writing, that was verbally. As far as the proximity of this development to the landslide, I just want to comment on that. So our geologic hazards ordinance requires that they get concept plan approval before they spend a lot of money on geologic hazards studies, because if you're not even able to approve it in the first place because it doesn't fit on the lot sizes or the zoning, then we don't want people to go and incur a lot of costs associated with this. The previous developers that were trying to put the development on the two furthest west properties has done some of that geotechnical investigation. We actually had a pre-investigation meeting with them and our geotechnical consultant, and they were told to go and drill some additional holes. That work didn't proceed any further, so that work will have to proceed as part of this study, depending on what the first study shows, because the other developer wanted to have lots go further over. So the current studies will have to be reevaluated based on this layout rather than the previous layout that had like five lots instead of what's now two lots on an area that had five lots that they were proposing. We expect that the results of that study will say that they need to set back any homes a certain number of feet from the top of the landslide scarp. It will state that the vegetation should be preserved. They don't want them to go in there and grade off the hillside and remove vegetation, causing runoff hazards, as well as there may be some requirements as far as drainage and what type of landscaping can be put on that. But all of that will be evaluated and placed as part of those geotechnical reviews. Other than that, it does meet the minimum standards. They do need to demonstrate that each one of these lots has 5,000 square feet of buildable area under 30% slope. But a city engineer did review this, and he's confident that these lots will meet that given their size and the area and the slopes that we have and the realignment of the lots out in front. So with that, I would tell you that the DRC has made a positive recommendation on the concept plan for this, subject to those three conditions. The first being the approval of the geotechnical study prior to submission from the preliminary plan, that the staff portion of Lot 3 be increased to the minimum width of 30 feet, and the submission of the slope analysis demonstrating the building envelopes for each of the lot have at least 5,000 square feet of area with less than 30% slope.
Okay. Thank you. Questions for staff?
Sherry, can you show us an aerial that's bigger?
Is that?
Yeah, I don't know where the landslide is.
Oh, okay.
Also, Sherry,
you want to point
did
to
they specify why the gas company was not happy with this? The gas line is actually a ways away.
Yeah, the gas line is not in, does not go through this property. There, it goes over here. I think that they're in, just in general, they didn't want to see any more hillside development anywhere near anything. I think that was kind of the gist of their comment. So the homes, if you can see, they'll be placed two out here closer to the road and then one about right in this area. So still considerably longer distance away.
What's the status of that lot on the north? Who owns that?
This?
No, directly this, neighboring it, yeah.
So this lot right here is actually owned by this homeowner.
Okay.
So they have a pool house or I don't know what's in that house. I don't know what's in that building necessarily. Some sort of accessory structure that goes across this property line, but they own all of this.
Great, thank you.
But those are two separate lots?
They are, yeah. They may be combined into one tax identification number, but they were originally separate parcels. They're not part of, this lot was not part of the subdivision. This lot is in the subdivision. This lot was not in the subdivision, was bought probably from the developer who then gave the rest of this to the city.
Okay.
And I think it's okay for me to announce this, but they did settle the lawsuit.
Wow.
A settlement's been reached. I don't know what the terms are, but that was just what we were told today.
That's good news.
Oh, wow.
That's good. Really good news.
Okay, would the applicant like to address us, come forward and take any questions as well? Thank you.
Hello. So my name is Carl Rupp, and I just want to point out that there were a lot of lots that creeped closer to the slide, and I've pulled way back, and even though I would have, say, a two-acre lot in the back, the home would be built up. Like, if you look at the number 10 on that drawing, that's about where the home would be. So I'm a long ways from the slide, and it's still fairly flat there. And there's drill marks that are past where we would put our home, just out in, say, another one or two lots past. Actually, the white pad, right there, there are some, you can tell some drilling went on there. They had leveled that to work it. And where there's a little tail on the road kind of there, that's about where the home would be built, maybe even closer.
This one?
Yeah, like right there. That's sort of the high spot right there. And that's about where we thought we would put the home, the third home off the flag lot.
So if you look at the aerial history of this, it's kind of interesting. I'm fairly certain that this road right here was built by the geotechnical consultant, not ours, the previous developers. He actually went beyond their property and onto this guy's property. But those were the areas that that our consultant had instructed them to go and obtain additional soil data. And so we're just trying to work out whether or not those tests have been done or if they've been analyzed. But we are working with the applicant as well as with the consultant that was working on it then to get that information.
Is there much of an elevation change from the church parking down to where the home would be?
No. It's almost just right across.
Maybe 10 feet?
Yeah, 10 feet, maybe.
I have a topography of that.
I can.
Did the Google driver drive down there?
Yeah. We do this.
The 30-foot easement, private drive would follow the level of the church fence. And it would be the home would be flattened out right there, and so it we want to driveway level to the road that we'd be putting in. So it's pretty much right at the church.
Is this a home you plan to occupy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the private drive, who is going to maintain plowing and stuff like that?
It would be us.
Great.
We live up there now on Vista View.
Great.
Yeah.
I just want to say I really, really hate flag lots, but this one makes sense. So this one makes sense. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
As far as flag lots go,
it's
as far as flag lots. I agree with both sentiments. Flag lots generally should be avoided. There are occasions when,
and this is one of them, I think. Yeah, thanks for stating that better than I did clearly.
No, it's yeah.
All
right, and thank you.
Okay.
And so we may have more questions for you, but you're welcome to sit down unless you have anything else you want to add.
No, but I'll hang out.
All right, great.
Kay.
Thank you.
So it looks like the church is about 5162 and about, I don't, this is not very accurate because I don't know if it means this right here. It might be a 20-foot drop to where his house is. But it's hard to say, and Google Earth is not cooperating with me.
They couldn't get their Google driver to drive down that
road. He didn't
road.
Drive down that dirt road?
Apparently not.
Dirt road.
I'll put in a request. They won't show me that unless it's in topography. Anyway.
What What are we trying to assess exactly?
You were asking what the drop was from the parking lot to about where the house would be. I mean, there may be some fill dirt that comes in, but you can see the church parking lot kind of goes down, and this just goes along here would be the driveway, and then it probably sit out here on this ridge. So it does drop down just a little bit, but not, it's not terrible. It looks worse than it is from right here because this looks like it's just a drop off, but it's not that crazy when you walk out here. It's not like a disappearing pool or something. And they would, this, as you can see, that this was originally planned to be a street. So these curb radii would be taken out, and the curb, new curb would be put in, and then just a driveway approach would be put in here that would be half the width of this, basically.
Okay.
And then the trail would be extended to across the driveway like that.
Great. All right. If we feel like we need resolution on that question, by all means. Otherwise, if the commission is ready, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit for a flag lot and recommended approval to the City Council. The concept plan for Lakeview Subdivision, a three-lot subdivision at 824 Eagle Point Drive, subject to the conditions read to the commission by Sherry.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Any comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Good luck.
Go to the council next Tuesday.
I believe we are on minutes, right?
We're on report of City Council.
Oh, thank you. I somehow have misplaced my.
We're here for you, man.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, our next item is a report on City Council actions on items recommended by the Planning Commission.
Okay, the City Council did not have a meeting on July 2nd because of the Festival of Speed, so it was canceled that night. So they haven't taken any action. On next week's agenda, they're having a work session to discuss with the council the general plan and the town center plan, master plan, and just kind of where we are with the form-based code and where we are with implementing the plan and making sure that the council is still on board with the goals of the general plan and of the town center master plan, because it's obviously a contentious election year where certain things are being said about those things, and so we just want to know that we're still going in the right direction. That we hope.
Is that an open meeting, the work
it
session
is. It is, and it's, they have the work session in the conference room right there, but it is an open meeting to the public. Yes, anyone can attend. And other items on that agenda will be the Winnie Phase 2, which was tabled a couple of months ago because the City Council wanted to see what amenity they're going to put in there. They came back with an amenity for a dog park in their open space. So that is going forward. Then the Orchard townhomes that you just had on the previous agenda item, the Williamsburg, maybe, if I get their red line corrections, will be on the agenda for their civil drawings that they're still working on because their engineer had some health issues that he was delayed, and this concept plan for Lakeview subdivision. And then that golf course thing will be on there, so it should be a fun meeting.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Anything else on that item?
That's all.
Do you know anything about the golf course meeting? Any?
I know they're having an open house right now at the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're considering leasing it to another to a company to operate it. And that's what I know.
Okay.
Do you know in their operating budget if they make an allocation for hosting the fireworks? Like, do they get credit for that? Like, because it's the, like, you couldn't go to a private golf course and do that without them charging the city. So do, in their budget, do they take that into account? My son is working for the golf course and is reporting how damaged it gets.
Oh, really?
He's on the maintenance crew.
They make all of the department heads stay after.
Yeah, and my son.
And clean up.
Yeah,
because we're salary, and so they.
Yeah,
have to pay
he
us over
mentioned
time.
That the city people were there.
Yeah, so that was really fun. People are really gross.
Yeah, so I just in that debate of the operating loss for the golf course, I wondered.
I don't think they put that on.
What a private course would charge a city to host.
I'm sure they don't count that, but I'm not in the budget.
Oh, I'm going to run up there and tell them right now.
Because I think that's important. It's like a community area that we have, and we do things like the Festival of Speed and the fireworks and Second Sunday concerts and stuff. Do we still do those? I haven't been paying attention.
I don't know. I'm off on the weekend, so.
There was one for the, I think, on the last weekend.
Yeah, like the 4th of July one.
But I think that's the only one.
Thank you. I think those are always helpful to check in on those, the what happens with the council. Are we okay to move on to the minutes? Yep. Okay. So we are reviewing the draft minutes from June 25th, 2019. Are there any comments on the draft minutes?
Familiar, and it's because I came at the very end.
Yeah, I think it's noted. It should be noted.
Like Commissioner Gordon showed up five minutes
right
before we left.
7:20 right there. It was a light session.
I'm not intending to rush you, but if there are no comments, or if you believe personally that others will not comment on the minutes, I would entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the Planning Commission meeting minutes from June 25th, 2019.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. We are adjourned.
Nice I got work, people.
Yeah, that was good. That was a full agenda. A quick note, I meant to bring little flyers and I just plum forgot, but Sully County is hosting an event.